This morning, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called Thankfulness Hotline. And I don't know how many of you, well, first, how many have ever worked at like a call center? How many have ever been a part? Man, some of you, like your hands up really, really high. Is that like high, like I'm never doing that again? Or high? Yes, okay, that's what I thought, that's what that one was for sure. I believe my brother, he did that when he was in school, I'm pretty sure. It sounded like a terrible, terrible job. But I love it when people call us and we don't want to receive their calls. Anybody else, you just love that? Telemarketer calls? Oh, yeah, yeah. Very, a lot of liars in the place today because no one likes that. But you know what else is great? When you call into like a service center or to get something fixed or for delivery, and I love it when they tell you what spot in the queue you are. And they're like, you are person number 32. And you're like, 32. And then you're sitting there and you're listening and you're waiting. And after like 20 minutes, they're like, oh, you're call 31. And you're like, no way, what is going on? I would rather not know. I literally would rather not know than a slow countdown to what feels like, you know, your demise at the end of the thing. I'm not sure. But the other day, we were having something delivered to our house. And in the process of this delivery, in the morning, 8 o'clock, they told us, got an email, we could track our driver all day long. We would stop 9. At that point, they just started, so they were at 0 completed stops. And so this was exciting. I'm like, awesome, we can know. Because I was busy. I didn't want to be at home all day waiting on a delivery. So I'm like, this is going to be good. The first one, about 10 o'clock, so that's about 2 hours after 8 o'clock. Good math there. The driver, it updated, and now it says he's in Richwood, Ohio. So from southeast of Columbus all the way up to Richwood. And now there's one stop completed. And then throughout the day, it got more. Except the guy never left Richwood, at least on this map. I think they had some technical difficulties. I feel pretty confident. But he's in Richwood. Now it's 2. Now it's 3. I missed 4. I was busy, I guess. And then it was 5. And then it was 6. And it felt like forever, this day just was dragging on. Every time I would refresh it, it would not be a different one. It would still be at, you know, stop 3, stop 2. Supposed to be there at 2 o'clock. It did not happen. But by 5 or so, he was there. So everything worked out. But as I was thinking about it, I feel like sometimes in our prayer life, sometimes in our thankfulness life with God, sometimes in our dreams and our what God has given us, or visions, the things that he's laid out before us, sometimes I feel like it can be like that day, except it could be over weeks or months or even sometimes years. Where we're like, I know it's happening. I feel like he's told me it's coming. I almost feel like there's a tracker, but now it's just stuck. Where in this journey am I? Am I on number 6 out of 10, or is it 6 out of 443? Like, where am I in my hotline with God? And sometimes when I think of our thankfulness, trust in our walking with God, sometimes our thankfulness meter can dwindle, I feel, as the timeline seems longer, as I'm not sure whether we're ever, whether it's ever going to happen, that dream or that vision. And today we're going to look into 1 Samuel this week and next week and look at Hannah and her dream of a child. She had a vision. She had something that she knew was from God. She believed it was from God. She desired this in her heart, but it did not happen in her timing, that's for sure. And it definitely did not happen in the timing of the people around her. There was a disconnect almost in the dream and the reality of that dream coming to pass. So today I just want to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. So we're going to read a few and kind of talk through it a little bit. And then look at 4 voices that we see that can be so loud and clear in our lives. And where our lives go depend on what we do with those voices. What we do with the people and what they say and what they speak into our lives. So 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 20, it'll all be on the screen, or you can grab your word or your phone or whatever it would be today. It says, there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jerom, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephratite. Now, real fast, I just want to start. I think this is important. We're watching Lord of the Rings because it's just a great movie, even though somehow it's almost 20 years old. And we know where Lord of the Rings gets their names from. It's right here in the Old Testament. Like, unbelievable. So, yes, thank you, Lord, for the names in the Bible. I really like that my parents named me Chris. Like, that's pretty easy. You can get it in Rachel, but, oh well, here we go. In verse 2, it says, he had two wives. Now, I have to stop there just real fast. There's some people in the room, if you're married, you're like, two wives? That sounds terrible. Maybe if you've never, you know, if you've never been married, you might be like, that sounds cool. I mean, maybe not, but so polygamy in the Bible is an interesting thing, right? You see it over and over and over again. A lot of the patriarchs, they have two wives, or sometimes many, many wives, or kings that have many, many wives. And in the Bible and in the ancient world, it was just something that was. But the Bible never puts it in a good light. And in fact, every single time, I think I can say that, every single time that there's multiple wives, polygamy, it is a problem. It is an absolute problem. In fact, we're going to see today, we're going to talk about three of those instances. And it's amazing in the Bible that there's things that God lets us do. And in the ancient world, like the people we bless, they had multiple wives. But it's also amazing that when we don't do what God has called us to do, Adam and Eve, one man, one woman, it goes bad. Things don't go how they should go. And in our life, my goal is not to do what I can get away with, but to do what God has designed me to do. Because when we do, life will be way, way, way better. So that was just free today. But two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from the city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. In this day, in this age, a child was of utmost importance. It was a vital thing for the family, for stature, for honor, for what you were supposed to do as a woman. In fact, culture would say that she definitely did not deserve a double portion because she was not able to fulfill what a woman was supposed to do, specifically for that status in their culture. And as I was reading and as I was going through, before we look at the voices, before we look at these things, I think there's something vital to realize that even when people around us look, or culture might look, or even ourselves sometimes, we'd say, well, we're not fulfilling what we should be able to fulfill or what we should be able to do, that God is there and God loves us and God blesses us. And I am so thankful that in our barrenness or in our weakness or in our mistakes, even in our misery and the problems, God's still there to walk with us, to bless us, and to bring us out of those situations. But the question is, what do we do with disappointment? What do we do with problems that other people cause or problems that we cause? What do we do with deficiency or with weakness? Because I think it is an amazing thing that even when we are fruitless in our life, God remains faithful, and he will bring us from fruitlessness to fruitfulness if we hold on to the dream that he's given us, if we hold on to who he is and what he has put in our life. The word Hannah, it means grace and mercy, and it's perfect in this spot. And there's times in our life where we don't feel like there's grace and mercy, but there's times in our life where we have to hold on to the word of God, hold on to the truth of who he is, so that we can get to where he has called us to be. Her womb was closed, and a rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? And we know that this is a true life, man and woman, because Elkanah's last statement sounds like maybe some of us men can do to our wives or to people. Which he says, am I not more to you than 10 sons? He says, I'm all you need. I've got you. Anybody? I see a couple ladies out there laughing. They can just see their husband saying that to them, or someone, a man in their life, right? She's in this position of hurt, of pain. She's in this position where Penina just pours it on, just gets her, is trying to make it a problem. Her husband, who loves her, who gives a double portion, wants to see good things, but doesn't have the right words and says, I'm good enough. Don't worry about the dream in your life. You've got Hannah in a place where she says, you know what? I'm not even going to eat the food. I'm so upset. There's such a problem. I'm not even going to eat of the blessing or the blessing that God has for me. She's in a place where it hurts, of pain. Verse 9 goes on, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorstep of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. She is doing something special here. This is most likely the Nazarite vow to give to the Lord, to not have a razor touch his head. This would mean that he would not drink of strong drink or of drink of the vine, of things that are just nice in some ways. No part in mourning the dead, never to cut the hair. And normally this would have been for a short period of time, but she said, from the day that he's born, I will give him to you in this way. Now, in their culture, as a line of Levi, they would have been apart, and from 30 to 50 years old, they would have been given to the Lord for the service in the temple. They already would have been given to the Lord. And Hannah says, Lord, if you will give this to me, I won't only give him for the 20 years of that period of time, but from the very moment of his life, I will give him to you. I will offer him to you. He gave this son that was not there yet to the Lord greater than what was already there. He already had him. He already was going to serve. But he said, she said, I will give him to you. Lord, I'll offer him completely to you. What was already God's, Hannah gave even the more. Verse 12, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Verse 19, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. This story, I think, is an amazing story for each and every one of us. There may be people in the room that this story is extremely close to you because you are struggling or you've struggled to have children. Some of you maybe for many years, and some might be walking through that process right now. And I want you to know that the dreams of God, he speaks and he moves and he walks with us through life. And when he has spoken something into your life, you can trust and you can rely and you can stand in his word. Here at Radiant Life Church, God has opened wombs after years and years and years to see a blessing take place. And God has also spoken, and he's used adoption, he's used other ways to see that take place. It's a matter of what is God's dream, God's vision, God's word for me. Not a person, not an individual, but what the Lord has. And probably every single person in this room has dreams and visions and things that God has spoken to you. Some that have happened, some that have come to pass, and some that you are waiting on. Some that you're like, Lord, I want to see it. Maybe just like Hannah crying out in the temple, Lord, I know what you've said. Lord, I know what's coming, and I will intercede. I will cry out. I don't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks. I'm going to hold out for the dream, the vision that you, God, have given me. I think the key, as we look at it, is what voices we're listening to. When we're on a hotline, when we're waiting, when we're in line, but we're not, haven't seen it yet, there's so often a voice that can come against us. There's so often things and people that can speak into our lives, both for good and for bad. And here I think we see four different distinct voices. First is the voice of Penina. The voice of Penina, the voice of you are a failure. You're never going to accomplish it. It's never going to happen. You're never going to have a child. The voice of Penina, I think, is extremely difficult because Penina doesn't seem to be quite as God-fearing as Hannah. Maybe she is, but here I would look at it and say, she seems a little evil. She seems like someone who would say, you're my enemy, you're my foe, and I want to do everything I can to stab you in the back with a knife, and then I'm going to give you that knife, right? Have we ever had people maybe in our life that the dream, the vision, what God has put in front of us, someone who says, no, you'll never accomplish it. Someone who says, no, you'll never be able to do it. You're a failure. There's people in this room right now that just from your face, it's like, oh man, that's a little too close to home because there's those moments and those voices, especially when God gives us a word, when God gives us a dream and something that we cannot do on our own. It would take his miraculous touch in our life. And when people don't understand, then people start to be negative and people start to put us down. And the question is, what do we do with a voice of failure? What do we do with Peninas in our life? What do we do when they come against us? And not only do we feel like we're failing or we can't see happen what we want and what we feel God has given us, but someone's directly telling us, you failed. You're not enough. And when I think of Radiant Life Church, the reason I love coming to church, the reason I say it every single Sunday morning, and it's not a joke or a lie or just something I say, it's my true thing. I love coming to Radiant Life Church because no matter what happens throughout the week, I pray the same for you. No matter what happens in your week, we get to come together. We get to worship our Creator. We get to thank Him for things we've seen, and sometimes we're thanking Him for things we have not seen yet, and we get to praise Him and lift Him up and glorify the God of all gods. It's not a voice of failure, but it's your friends, your family who say, come on, let's go storm the castle. Let's go see what's going to happen. We're believing for the miracle or the healing. We're believing for a friend or maybe a child that doesn't know the Lord, but that they're going to come to know the Lord. We're believing that something God has put in your heart will come to pass. No matter whether it was last week he shared or last month or last year or last decade, he's going to do it. And as a family, the voice is not of failure, but it's of, come on, let's do it. We've got this. I love church. I love the people of the church. That's what the church is. Joining together. You know, when and who you listen to will determine where you end up so often. The voice of failure will either tear you down or push you toward the dreams and calling of God. And what do I mean? I mean when someone puts you down. Someone says, and sometimes it's our own voice. It's our own mind that starts talking. It's not always somebody else. Sometimes internally we can say, oh man, I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen. God's not going to come through. You know, whatever we want to throw on there. But if I listen to that voice, then it begins the end. It tears us down. But on the other side, I can stand strong in the Lord and say, no way. It's not going to happen. The dreams and the calling of God are way more than a person's voice or my own mind coming through. The word of God is way bigger or stronger than my society or my culture or what someone else tells me. Even a Penina in my own home that's putting me down. No, the voice of God is what I will listen to. Failure cannot take hold in my life because I will not listen to that voice that is contrary to the word of God. There's failure's voice. We see even compromise's voice. We see Elkanah. We see her husband. We see the one that loves her, that cares for her, that has the greatest, I think, intentions for her, that gives a double portion to her, that wants to see her enjoying life, that wants to see her enjoying a double portion, who would say, am I not good enough? Do you really need to have your dream? Do you really need to have a kid? I'm here. We're here. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And I believe in life, it's so easy to have people and let people's voices around us say, your life's good. It's fine. You don't need to rely on God. You don't need to trust in God. You don't need to believe that what he says in his word will really happen, or what he's given you a word of will really happen. Your life's good enough. Even those that sometimes love us can speak words that aren't his dream, that aren't his truth, that aren't what he has for us. And today I want to encourage us as Radiant Life Church that there's no compromise in my dream. There's no compromise in what he's called you to do. There's no compromise. And that could be in my life and what I do in sin. I'm not going to compromise. There'll be no person that can get me to do something that goes outside of the word of God. And if I do make a mistake, I'm running back to Jesus. It's not going to be a habit of my life. Lord, forgive and make new. I will not compromise. Because the voice of compromise will either be the beginning of the end as I compromise and compromise and compromise, or it will push towards the future God has for you. As I say, I will not, and we build barriers and walls around us to say, no way will I do anything but follow after the goodness of God. As I've been praying and believing, I feel that there's some people in the house that you'd say, you know what? There's been compromise in my life, how I live, what I do, or maybe the belief of what God wants to do in my life, I've compromised, I've let it down. And today God says, stand back up, get back in the fight, get back on your knees, pray, thank me, lift up my name, and believe that the dream that I haven't released, but someone else pulled out of you, that it's back, it's yours. And watch God do his work in your life. Voice of failure, voice of compromise. And even Eli, the one that you would like to think has it all right all the time, the one in the temple, the one that, you know, you could say like the pastoral role. Guess what? Sometimes Pastor Dave's and Pastor Chris's don't get it right. Have you ever messed up in your 40 years? He says yes. I was gonna say yes anyways, no matter what he said. But, right, sometimes even the ones that are trying to help us misunderstand. Sometimes one that don't, we might not always get what you are going through. We might not get the dream God has placed in your heart. We might not always get it right. And Eli thought that Hannah was drunk. Eli thought that she was pretty much crazy. What is wrong with you? What in the world is going on? And Hannah says, no, I'm not drunk. She was respectful of her leadership, but said, no, I'm not drunk. I am weeping. I am so passionate about what God is doing and what I believe he wants to do. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to compromise. I'm never going to listen to the voice of failure. And you know what? Not even misunderstanding in my life is going to be something that stops me from going all out after what God has put in my heart. The voice of misunderstanding, it's waiting at every corner to sidetrack you, but the truths of God will hold you secure to his plan. If you know what he's put in your heart, don't let anybody else. Don't let anybody else get you off track. If you know what he's done in your life, don't let anybody tell you it's fine to just do a little bit different. Don't tell anybody else that you're crazy or you're drunk when what you are is passionate about the things of God, when you're passionate about what he's put in you and the future that he is laying out before you. Even before those around you can see it, before they know, before they've experienced it. He's there. And these voices of failure, of compromise, of misunderstanding, they can stop us in our tracks. Or like Hannah, we can push through and say, no way will I let those things stop me. And I believe her voice, even in the midst of maybe misery and pain and turmoil of not seeing this dream take place, I believe she had a voice of thanksgiving, which we'll see here in a few verses. But even in accusation, she says, no, I have poured out my soul before Yahweh. And we think about some of the matriarchs in Genesis. They may not have done it quite the same. Over and over again, we see women that they were barren and they needed to carry on the family line. And in fact, God's plan wouldn't really work without them, the line. How can we keep it going? We see Sarai, she said to Abraham in Genesis 16, go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Or Rachel in Genesis 30, when she said to Jacob, here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf. And there's something that happens when voices get into our mind that all of a sudden I say, you know what? I've got a plan. I'm not going to wait on God, but I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to wait on God, but take my servant. I'm not going to wait on God, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to wait on God, but I'm going to get up and go before the Lord, before his blessing, before his hand. And when we do, every single time, it turns out destructive. It turns out more painful. It turns out with problems. But when we wait on the word of God, when we wait on the truth and the dream that God has placed us, when we let him do his thing, then thanksgiving will be a part of our life. Eli goes from you're drunk to, oh, okay, it's done, basically. Your petition is granted. In a moment, misunderstanding turned into, that's it. That's all good. We're good now. We just go home. Basically, that is the experience that takes place here. She said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. She went away. She ate. Her countenance changed. It says in verse 19, it says that they got up and they worshiped before going home. There's something that happens. She didn't see any difference. There was no difference. Eli just said, your petition is good. It's going to happen. But she got up. She praised. She thanked God. She worshiped God for who he was. Then they went home. And then God did the miracle. And there's something about letting God move in our lives. There's something about letting God and letting thankfulness rise in our heart. There's something about worshiping God in spite of not seeing the answer that opens the door for the greatest miracles to happen in our lives. And I would encourage you, if there's something in your life that you've been dreaming of, it's time to begin thanking and praising God. If there's something that you haven't seen and it seems dead, it's time to continue to worship him, to praise him, to lift up his holy name. If there's something in your personal life or in a family member or maybe in a job that just seems like it's passed by, say yes to God. Let him move in your life. And just like Hannah, don't listen to anyone or any amount of time. But if it takes year after year after year after year, go up and see that God might just not do it now. That God might just have the moment and the time, and this might be it. We think of our life and we think of so many individuals and people all around us. And sometimes we're like, if I could only be them, or if I only had their issues and not mine, or if I only, you know, was something different. And the great theologian, Dr. Seuss, I think just says it really, really well. He says, you ought to be thankful a whole heaping lot for the places and people you're lucky you're not. And as I was praying this week, this crazy quote came up. And there's so many times where we want somebody else's thing. We want somebody else's problem. We want to be someone else or have something else or do something else. And there's something about realizing that God has you right where he has you. You are in his spot, and it may feel lonely in a season, or it may feel lonely or like the dream is not going to be, but if you are you, and he's created you, and he's put that dream in you, that's exactly where you want to be. And you don't want to be anybody else. You don't want to be somewhere else. You want to be right where you are, in his presence, worshiping him, thanking him, and lifting up his name, because that's the best place to be. We see in verse 20 that a son is born. Samuel, they conceive. Samuel comes, and I find it interesting that Samuel is given to the Lord. Samuel is given, and so not going to be in their home like a normal child would be. But in chapter 7, we see that Samuel chose to live in Ramah, chose to live where his parents were. And I find it so amazing that when we are given the dreams of God, and we give those things back to God, he repeats and repays over and over and over again. It's never a sacrifice to give to the Lord. It's never a sacrifice to give our dreams and what he's given to us. It's never a sacrifice to give it back. Because when he makes it happen, it's better and more powerful and more amazing than we could ever think. And then he repays it over and over and over again. When we offer Jesus the best and all with thanksgiving, he returns it to us over and over and over. This morning, when I think of thankfulness in the hotline, I would ask you, where do you think you are? Is your life a life of thankfulness? Is your life a life that even when Thanksgiving might not look like I normally would want it to look, that, you know what, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to let God speak. I'm going to let him move. I'm going to let him do his thing. Maybe God has something special for you this Thanksgiving in a different environment than a normal year, in a different way. Maybe it's completely thrown up and down, upside down for you. Maybe this Thanksgiving, you're going to have the greatest encounter with your Heavenly Father when maybe there's not as many people or distractions around us. What would happen if we, instead of going into things that seem like misery or seem like a problem, instead go in with an upbeat spirit and a thankful heart? And Lord Jesus, we're so excited. I'm so excited about what's happening in my country. I'm so excited about what's happening, even in Thanksgiving, if it looks different or not. I'm so excited. God, you do your thing. And what if that's our desire and our prayer on every dream he's given? Lord, I thank you for this dream you've put in my heart, and I will continue to be patient, and I'll be passionate about it, but I'll be patient just to trust you and to not let any voice in my head or not let anybody speak into my life that's not speaking your truth in your way and only the way that you can do it. God has good things for you, church. 2 years ago, we found out an interesting thing, and Revive Church Hilltop, our partner church over the last about year and a half or two, and we've been working with them for a long time, doing Christmas things and Thanksgiving things and their Mars Meals and Resource Saturdays, joining with them, all of these different things. But when I think of Pastor Stephen, I think of someone who is thankful and excited about what God's doing all the time. In fact, a couple years ago, this little church had raised almost $100,000. And of no fault of their own, that money was basically, it was just taken from them. Nothing they could do about it. Church planning stuff and just didn't go as it was supposed to. And I could not believe, as Pastor Stephen just would talk of thankfulness to God while talking about this horrible thing that had happened. He would be thankful. I just praise God because people are getting saved. I just praise God for what he's doing. His spirit was never down, even though they were this close to getting a building because they had raised the money. They had one they were looking at, and then the money was gone when they were going to go make the offer. And you know what? About a year ago, talked about here, just someday, we're going to see them get in a building. We're going to see that miracle happen. And one of you, a member of Radiant Life Church, who I love them because they're like, I don't want anybody to know. I'm going to be anonymous. They gave $100,000 just without being asked. No one was asked to give anything. They gave $100,000 to Revive Church Hilltop. They did not know that that was almost exactly, almost to the penny, the amount of money that was taken. What seemed like a defeat, God brought back in a more powerful and a crazy way. So for 1 year, we've been looking, and by we, Pastor Stephen and their church, I just am a cheerleader. Like, come on, I count myself. It's like the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, we're doing this thing. And you know, they've been patient. They've been waiting. Maybe 3 months ago, Pastor Joe in one of our meetings said, Pastor Stephen, I just feel that the time is now. I feel that this is the moment. Basically, the dream is going to happen. Have your eyes open. And about a month ago, a building came on the market. This building, it's on Sullivan Avenue, just right on the edge of the hilltop, in great location. Great location because Pastor Stephen's belief is that they're going to have 15 house churches all through the hilltop because so many people there don't have vehicles. They can't drive, so they need to be able to walk a block to their church. So he has a belief that this is going to be a hub to see house churches take place all over the hilltop to change and to see a miracle in that area. So we go to look at this building, and it was amazing. Someone said, and I like it, I'm going to steal it. It was like it was cleaned on Saturday night, ready for church on Sunday morning, and then the rapture happened, and there was nobody else there, and it was ready to go for church. So when we went to look at it, literally, if they got the keys an hour before church, they were good. You just walk in, have church, it's ready, including like Sunday school lessons. I mean, it was the weirdest situation. God provided the perfect space and the perfect building. It needs no construction, no work. It needs them to walk in the door and do church. Now, there's some signs need changed, you know, all those things, of course. But God provided the perfect space. I mentioned a year ago that when the building happened, that as a church, we were going to give. Not one person, but all of us joining with that one gift. And it is that moment. We're believing tomorrow we're going to get the final, Pastor Stephen's going to get the final offer from the bank. Everything's going to get signed. They're going to get in this building in the very, very near future. And we want to be a part of helping them move in. We want to be a part of getting that kickstart to get them in this building. And when I think of the goodness of God, I just look at Revive Church Hilltop. I can look around here, and I mean, this is amazing, but to see one of our partner churches having the blessing of God, the patience of God, when it seems like a dream was taken and then returned, and then being still patient to say, God, your building and your timing, not what I want, not what we would want, but Lord, what do you have? And now the time has come. So I'm going to ask as a Radiant family that every single one of us would be a part of giving to Revive Church to help them get in, to get them into that building, this move-in project. And maybe that means for somebody in the room that you say, you know what? I don't have any money. I could give $5. I would encourage you, if that's you, give $5. There might be somebody else that you could give 50, or you could give 100, or maybe 500. Maybe somebody in the room, God has blessed you and you've just been holding on to something, and this is the opportunity that you say, you know what? I've got $5,000 I'm gonna give. I would love to blow away our $10,000 that we're gonna give. But I believe most importantly, I want us as a family to bless our partner church and the Hilltop right down the road. And so I'm gonna encourage you. Maybe today, maybe you're like, I know, God's already put it on my heart. You can know what you're gonna do. Go to radiant.family, you can give. Or maybe this week, would you talk maybe to a spouse, talk to somebody in your life, maybe that God would just give you what it is. 5, 10, 15, 20, 500, 5,000, whatever God's doing. And as we come together, I believe we are going to be a part of the thankfulness that is consistently and constantly coming from Pastor Stephen's mouth as we get to join in with them and we get to see more and more and more people give their lives to Jesus, more and more people come to know who he is. And that's the whole goal of Radiant Life. And I love asking for money. I especially love it, really love it, when it's to give it to somebody that it doesn't do anything for me, doesn't do anything for this building, doesn't do anything for us right here. But you know what it does? The kingdom of God is about to expand, and there's about to be a Pentecostal expression in a building that's got a kitchen that can do food drives and do things like they've never been able to do before. And we at Radiant Life Church get to be a part of it. So would you pray this week? Would you ask God? Maybe you're ready and you say, I'm going to go on radiant.family or put money in the tithe box. Would you say, what is it? Small amount, large amount, whatever God would lead you to. But before we go today, I want to pray for you, for this season, in this moment, that nothing's going to get me down, that I'm going to be thankful, that you're going to be thankful right now, right in this season. And can we also pray for Susie's mom and for Don's dad? They have COVID, and we're just believing for miracles in their lives. Can we pray? Maybe somebody you know that is sick, somebody you know that doesn't know the Lord, somebody that you know that, man, they need a touch of God or a miracle in whatever way, or maybe your finances or maybe your job or whatever it might be today. Would you take a few minutes as we pray just to thank the Lord for his goodness, even in the midst of what seems chaotic? Would you thank the Lord? I'm going to bless you, and we're going to go, and we're going to have the greatest Thanksgiving week. No matter what it looks like, no matter what our expectations are right now, we're going to leave ready to go and say, this is going to be the best week ever. It doesn't matter what happens around me, because God is with me. He's good. So Lord, this morning, we're so thankful. Lord, we're thankful that you move. We're thankful, God, for this church, for Radiant Life. Lord, that we're on track. We're going to launch a campus in 2021, pandemic or no pandemic, because you are faithful. Lord, we're thankful for Revive Church Hilltop. We're thankful that even when money disappears as no fault of their own, God, that you come through and you bring life back to what seems like dead dreams in just a moment, and you return what was taken and more, God, that you bring buildings, that you bring the opportunity right in the spot that they need to be to see more people come into relationship with you. Lord, we're thankful for those that even have struggles today, or family members, for those that are sick, those that have cancer, those that have any physical need in their body. Lord, we're thankful today that you are our healer, you are our Lord, you are our Savior, God. And we pray that you would walk with them, you would uplift them, that you would heal, that you would restore, and that you would make right, God. Lord, we're thankful that friends and family, that they do not know you yet. Lord, we're thankful, God, that you are in heaven. You're on the throne, and you're working on our behalf. You're working in their behalf to see them come into relationship. And God, right now, we cry out for the lost that we know, those around us. We cry out and say, we say, Lord, bring them back to you. Our children, our friends, our family members, maybe even our parents. God, we ask that they would come back, or they would come to find you and who you are for the very first time. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of darkness, God, you are there. And Lord, I speak over each and every person that's a Radiant Lifer, that's one of your children, even around the world, that on a Thanksgiving that may look different, Lord, it's not going to be a bummer. We're not going to hang our heads, but Lord, we're going to lift our eyes to you. We're going to worship you. We're going to thank you, God, for who you are. And Lord, I pray for dreams, Lord, that seem like they are barren, seem like they're gone, seem like they're never going to happen. Lord, if it's you and you have not turned them in a new place, God, I pray that those dreams would be revived, that the belief would be revived, that the passion would be revived to see your dreams and your heart once again poured out in us, Lord, so that we can then see it become a reality. So, Lord, right now, we thank you for dreams. We thank you for the answer of dreams that we have not seen yet, but that you have spoken. And, Lord, we thank you that every day we have the opportunity to align ourselves with your holy word just a little bit more. And Lord, I'm thankful for a church, Lord, that we don't want to just do what we want to do, but Lord, we want to align with you. Lord, we're thankful that you help us every day to look more like you, every day to be closer to what you said, to being perfect, because we are aligning with the truth of the word and no compromise. Nothing around us will tear us down. Lord, no voice of failure is going to get us off track. No misunderstanding, Lord, but we're going to plug into you and experience you. And Lord, we are thankful that you hear and that you guide and that you direct. Lord, we lift you up. We exalt you. We exalt you, God. Bless this church. Bless these people. Bless them this Thanksgiving season, God. Lord Jesus, let them have opportunities to speak of you, to text, to call, to hang out with people, to bless those around them so they can experience your love as well, God. We ask for testimonies of people coming into relationship with you. We ask for testimonies of healings. We ask for testimonies of encouraging words that have been given that are changing hearts and lives, God. Lord, the greatest testimony that one more person will come to know you, God. We pray that it would happen over and over and over again. And God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you last week for the 5 that were baptized. We thank you, Lord, that there's more and we're going to keep doing it. Lord, we thank you. You're so good. And Lord, in this story, Lord, I pray for those here today, Lord, that they specifically, they want to have a child and they have not been able to. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would walk with them through that. And Lord, if it is you, Lord, we pray that your word would come alive and your truth, and that you would make do miracles where it is impossible from man. God, it is not impossible with God. It's not impossible with you. So we speak life, Lord Jesus. To those that they are believing and they're waiting, God, we pray even now that miraculously, Lord, you would open things up and that babies would be born where they couldn't have without a miraculous touch from you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for new life. We thank you for new life, God. We thank you for accepting each of us and letting us be a part of your family and taking our sin, putting it on that cross, Lord, so that we are yours and we're pure before you. We love you, Jesus. Lord, I pray now that we would go and we would share you with our world. We'd be uplifted and ready to make a difference, God, unlike we've ever thought of or unlike we've ever known. Lord Jesus, send us out. And we're thankful that you lead, that you guide, and that you direct. You're so good. It's in your holy and your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, Radiant Life Church. We have so much to be thankful for. We're gonna do it. God's moving on your behalf. Let's make it happen. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving week. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. See you next week.